You're listening to the Champions Rugby Show. We're here to celebrate 25 years of what is now the Heineken Champions Cup. I'm Martin Hindley, lucky enough to be joined by some of the superstars of rugby who have made their name in this tournament. And you don't get much tougher than this man.
That's more like it from Munster. Now they've got a channel and they're over the line. And the referee gives the try at last. It was all about patience and it's Alan Quinlan. What a game he has had.
A two-time Heineken Cup winner, man of the match in the 2008 final, over 200 appearances for Munster and involved in the miracle match, one of the greatest tales in rugby history. Joining us today is former Munster back row and now rugby commentator, Alan Quinlan. Hello, Alan. How are you doing?
I'm very good, Martin. And yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. As good as we can be in this very, very strange situation. I mean, I was going to ask, how have you been coping with self-isolation over in Ireland and these very strange times that we're living in?
Yeah, they are very strange times, Martin, I think, for everybody. And it's just... I think everyone's in the same boat. They're trying to get used to it. And there's a lot of shock and readjustment, if you like, to people's lives. And it's the new norm now, isn't it? So I miss the sport like mad, not just the rugby, but the football and the golf, all sports. I'm a massive sports fan. But it's worrying times for everybody. And but look, I'm having good days and bad days in my own head. Like everybody, it's a challenge. But I'm trying to get out and get in a bit of nature, and the weather's been pretty good here in Ireland, so at least that helps a little bit.
Well, it does give us a chance to look back on some of the reasons that sport is special to us, and we're celebrating 25 years of the Heineken Cup. That's a reason for this podcast, and I suppose at the start of a tournament with which you have such an incredible history, can you tell us what it means to you as a tournament?
Yeah, it meant everything as a player. It was anytime we had a European week when I was playing for Munster, it was just a different week. There was a huge level of excitement, anticipation, and a real buzz around the players and the coaches, and we loved it, and we loved the opportunity to go and test ourselves in Europe against some of the best players, international players, and superstars of rugby, really. And I think when I started out off playing in 1997 was my first year of European rugby, that I was awestruck by some of the guys I was coming up against. And I remember playing Harlequins in 1997, and Will Carlin was playing, Jason Leonard, Lauren Cabanes, the French number seven. And these were guys that I was watching on TV, and I was out on the field playing against them. And it was just incredibly enjoyable. And for us, for Munster, we ended up really kind of embedding ourselves in the competition and just loving every time we played. And our fan base kind of grew, and, you know, they were probably deemed some of the best supporters in the world, the way they followed us all over Europe, and just the colour and the singing and the atmosphere was just amazing. So we had so many special moments on the field, off the field, you know, when we'd leave in the airports, when we'd come back after playing big games. It was just really, really special, and that kind of affiliation with the European Cup just got stronger and stronger year after year, and we started to knock on the door to try and win it then, and we got better and better year after year. So it was just really, really special for me as a player and for all my teammates.
You mentioned about the fans and just how integral a part they were in the club at the time. I remember the final in 2000, and I think you can go back and see some of these images now of being on the field at the end, having lost a really tough encounter, and you can hear the fields of Athenry for so long. I mean, was that one of the moments when you realised that it meant a lot to more than just the playing group? And how was it to have that kind of support behind you?
Yeah, it was amazing, and it was a change for the supporters as well, because with all the change that happened in Ireland, and there was a bit of resistance to people who traditionally supported their clubs in Ireland to now suddenly go following Munster week after week, because historically all we would have had before the European Cup was interprovincials, maybe six games a year with Munster. So they were sporadic and they were kind of big occasions and in themselves, and there was great rivalry, but people still stuck to their clubs and were kind of really loyal to their clubs. I wouldn't say they lost their loyalty to their clubs, but they felt part of this whole province coming together and this journey that we were on. You know, in that year in 99-2000, we, you know, I remember playing the first or second pool game over against Saracens in Vicarage Road, and we probably had 30-40 people there supporting us, and you run on right to the end and the final in Twickenham, even the semi-final in Toulouse and Bordeaux. That was the first one that I went, wow, this is incredible. There was 3,000 or 4,000, maybe 5,000 Munster fans went to Bordeaux for that semi-final against Toulouse. Lots of the clubs across Europe loved the Munster fans as well, because they were friendly, they were warm, they were knowledgeable in their rugby, and they brought colour and fun and joy into the pubs, restaurants right across England and France. And I think people started to like them and liked having them around. And, you know, then the final, unexpected final, really, because we never expected really to beat Toulouse in the south of France. But the final in Twickenham, that was really a line in the sand where people went, there's something special happening here. This competition is special. This group of players, the jersey they wear represents all of us, and people wanted to be part of that. And there was great fun and joy for the fans. They had the time of their lives, and my parents who travelled, and all my teammates, their parents, they just loved it. They had great joy and fun every time they went. And 2000 in Twickenham was heartbreaking, obviously, because you lose a massive final. But I think we were still early in our development. You know, eventually we got more resilient and strong, and we learned from some of the defeats and the disappointments, and it made us better. And obviously there was incredible ambition and talent within our group, and a lot of young Irish players and Munster players who wanted to get better. And we started to really enjoy those big days, and the fans were really an integral part of lifting us. So it kind of brought back that affiliation with the Munster jersey again, the European Cup, and it was just so special for us. And the fan base grew year after year, and people wanted to be part of it.
You made two finals in 3 years at the start of the noughties. There was also the one in 2002 against a great Leicester Tigers side. At the time, through the disappointment, were you able to recognise just how good these sides were that you were coming up against, or is that something that you've only really been able to take on after you've finished playing?
We knew we were improving, and we were knocking on the door, and we were a hard team to beat. We also knew we needed to get better. Rather than being tough to beat, we needed to score more and develop our skills more. And you know, we looked at teams like Leicester, and we kind of mirrored ourselves a lot on Leicester because of their passionate fans, the style of play maybe, which was forward orientated. They always went for big, powerful forwards, and you know, Munster were traditionally a kind of a very grizzled forward pack, if you like, and Leicester were the team that they had so much history attached to their jersey and success and top quality players. And that Leicester team we played in 2002 was, you know, it was full of superstars. You know, Back, Corrie, Kay, Johnson, Garford, Rountree. You know, these guys who were seasoned internationals. And we probably, again, I mentioned the mindset there. We probably didn't believe in ourselves enough, and maybe weren't good enough. We were probably playing a team that was better than us across the board. But we still felt going into that final that if we stopped their pack from mauling and scoring tries and being really dominant up front, because their set piece was very strong, their scrum line out, their maul, and if we could match them up front, that maybe we had a chance. And we did that for long periods of the game. I think even though they got the two tries, we felt that we'd done so many things right in the game that we physically matched them, and that we gave ourselves a great opportunity. And then I suppose the scrum at the end where Neil Back slaps the ball out of Stringer's hands, and he still gets a bit of flack from Munster fans when he meets him nowadays. And I always say to Munster people, I probably would have done the same if the roles were reversed.
Oh dear, it's going to end in controversy. There we go, the slap by Neil Back. The referee didn't see it, the touch judge didn't see it. That's the end of the Heineken Cup final. Austin Healy scored the try. That took the game Leicester's way. Leicester have beaten the Irish challenge of Munster.
But that was an incredible Leicester side, and we kind of accepted that, you know, we were getting closer, but we had to work harder and get better.
Let's fast forward now to a game against another high-quality English outfit. You helped us to rewind to January the 18th, 2003 at the weekend for a rerun of the Miracle Match. For those who don't remember, going into the final round of pool games in the Heineken Cup, Munster had to beat Gloucester with four clear tries and a significant winning margin, 26 points. Otherwise, elimination. What do you remember about the build-up to that incredible, incredible day?
Yeah, I remember that we weren't in good spirits, and maybe our confidence had taken a bit of a walloping. The probability here was that we weren't going to make the knockout stages, but we certainly wanted a tone for probably a disappointing campaign for ourselves, having lost, you know, two games out of the five so far. That we wanted to just finish in a high, and we wanted to protect that record in Thomond Park, and really give the fans something to kind of cheer about that Saturday. And it's probably been well highlighted. We never spoke about bonus points or how much we had to win by. It was just, we got to win. We got to beat the best team in England who are coming to Thomond Park on Saturday, who openly are saying in the press that they were really looking forward to going to Thomond Park. So we kind of, that gave us a little bit of a chip on the shoulder that they were looking forward to it so much. And I just think we played with a determination and an energy that day that most teams, no matter who came to Thomond Park that day, they would have struggled to beat us, because our backs were to the wall, really. And the fans got right behind us. There was a real kind of energy right from the word go in that game. And it was a very, very special day.
So much to play for in this match. After the loss last week, it's all to do for Munster, as we all know by now. It's still possible for them to win this match and say goodbye to this year's Heineken Cup. But they've so much tradition here in Thomond Park. Never lost a Heineken Cup match here.
When you're in the middle of it all, and it's chaos all around, how much were you all aware of what you had to do, what was still required? I mean, obviously, famously, Rog says that he didn't know with the final conversion that was for qualification and to complete the miracle. But I mean, how much was everybody aware, really, of what the situation?
Nobody was aware. I think the coaches were. I think they obviously knew that, you know, if we score four tries and win by 27 points, that, you know, that's what was required. But it was never mentioned because, you know, it's very dangerous as sports people to start talking about that kind of stuff, because you can take your eye off the ball and you can get your backsides open, if you like. And they were such a strong side, Gloucester. And Axel was the one who kept saying, absolutely no mention about this whatsoever. Let's just go out and get a win. And show everyone how good we can be and how proud we are to play in the Munster jersey. So after the fourth try, I think we knew we had to get the bonus point, because we were, you know, there was a surge after Mick O'Driscoll scored the third try. I think there was a real surge that bonus points, maybe that puts us in. We weren't sure of the actual points difference, but when John Kelly scored at the end, that was really the first time that I had heard messages coming on the field: do not let Gloucester score. We were 27 points up. We go through if the score stays like this. That was really the first time a lot of us had heard that. And I think Rog was right when he was saying he didn't realise that he had to get the conversion.
It's away, and it's on target, and the flags are up, and Munster have got the lead. They want it. 27 points the difference now. Munster 33, Gloucester 6. Gloucester haven't scored in the second half, and we have, by my reckoning, about 20 seconds of play left.
Well, if you had scripted this, Jim, nobody, but just nobody, would have believed it was possible.
I think he wants to play on, the ref. Looking at his watch, he said 42 minutes left, and he has! It's over, and Munster have done the impossible. Who could have believed this against a side who are going so well like Gloucester?
It's amazing to think that professional athletes are out in a field like that, and they actually don't fully know the permutations. That's why it probably makes it so special, really, that none of us really knew.
One of the greatest matches in rugby history, and then to one of the most fantastic emotions, I would imagine, 2006, Biarritz in Cardiff, 15,000 in O'Connell Street in Limerick, Munster jerseys absolutely everywhere, dominating the crowd in the final. Where do you start when you go into recalling not just the final, but the season and the whole experience of winning the Heineken Cup at last?
We were getting weary of it, to be honest, because we lost the semi-final in 03 away in Toulouse after another incredible time a day in Leicester when we won the quarter final. We lost another semi final in 04 then when Wasp beat us. So we're probably getting weary of final semi finals. I just think we kind of got to a stage where I really felt that nothing was going to stop us winning that final in Biarritz, and that wasn't being disrespectful. The final in Cardiff, that wasn't being disrespectful to Biarritz, because you're playing a final of a European competition. They were star-studded side. There was incredible players playing for them. So it was always going to be a difficult match, but I just felt that we'd got a lot better. We got fitter, stronger. I think we'd played a relentless type of rugby that most opposition, you know, struggled against us in the pool stages, bar round one where we went to Sale and they beat us convincingly. I ruptured my knee. Frankie Sheehan damaged his neck. It was an incredibly disappointing and heartbreaking night. I was thinking my career is over here. Frankie probably never recovered from his neck injury properly as well. And then we'd such a walloping. But to be fair, I missed the rest of the pool stages, and the team just went on and played brilliantly. They won 5 out of 6, topped the pool, and got the home quarterfinal against Perpignan, and then the semi-final against Leinster in Dublin, and suddenly we were in another final. And I just felt that I got back for the final, and 6 months previous I thought my career was over, and I got on for 4 minutes in that final, and it was never touched the ball, didn't make a tackle, just ran around in circles praying and hoping that the final whistle would go and that I'd be on the field when eventually we won one, and we did that. We just couldn't believe it, really, in the end. I think the fans couldn't believe it. And just the scenes were iconic and will probably be looked back at for forevermore. The crowds in Limerick and just the crowds outside the stadium driving in the bus. It was just amazing. And the celebration afterwards and just the atmosphere everywhere. It was just a really special day. And it was a culmination of not just that year. It was all the disappointment, the heartache. It was just a lovely moment and one that I or my teammates will never forget, really.
And then back in Cardiff, not to just run around a little bit, but to be the man of the match in the Heineken Cup final as you lift it for the second time. A city and a stadium, I'm sure, that's very close to your heart as a result. But what were the differences in the emotions because of your different contribution, let's say, in 2008 to the final?
Yeah, of course, it was totally different for me. For some strange reason, I was... 06 was just very special, and I can't discount that in any way, because every player wants to play the whole match and be part of it and be out on the field. And, you know, I got the injury and I missed most of the season, but I didn't care, because it wasn't just about that. It was about, you know, all the other stuff that went on years gone by, and I was part of it and I felt very much part of it. And like I say, the happiest substitute ever to get on the field for 4 minutes. 08 was then special in its own way, not just winning, but for me to play an integral part of the pool games. And it was special, you know, to be back in Cardiff again in that stadium where we had disappointment and we had joy. You know, we'd experienced both sides of the coin there, and just to be back in the mix again and win a European Cup, because, you know, we lost in the quarterfinals in 07 when we were champions away to the Scarlets. And that was a real kind of wake-up call for us that, you know, just because you win a tournament in 06, it actually gets harder, because everybody wants to knock you off your perch. And the quality of the competition was just sensational. Like, every game was a difficult game. And for us to be back in a final again, we were very proud of that. And we were proud of the progress we'd made. And we were now playing brilliant rugby, and we'd shown that throughout the campaign that year. And like I say, with Maffey, Tupoki, Howlett, and not just the overseas players. I think, you know, we had some brilliant homegrown players, and we were very proud. We had a full Irish pack of forwards, a full Munster homegrown pack of forwards. It was a lovely feeling, and it was a lovely feeling personally for me. I know I got man of the match, but probably when I look back at that game, there was probably other players in the field who'd played better than me. But I didn't, you know, I was just so proud and happy to be back out in a Munster jersey winning a European Cup again. And that was really important for us, that we didn't win one. We went back and won a second, and we kept going back to try and win more after that, before the team, that group of players finally kind of started to come to an end. But at least we got the second one anyway, and that was incredible for us.
and it's all over. And it's Munster over that line again. And now the one they have crossed for a second time in three seasons. It is time to open up that Cardiff treasure chest again.
It's certainly become something annual almost to see Munster rugby in the knockout rounds of European rugby's greatest tournament. You mentioned earlier in the podcast that you love a number of sports. We know that you're a big fan of Liverpool. Do you see any comparisons with this current Liverpool team and your Munster side in terms of just how integral they are, not just to the high quality of sport, but also to European competition? Because a Champions League without Liverpool is just about as unthinkable as a European Cup in rugby without Munster.
Yeah, I think Liverpool are obviously synonymous with European journeys themselves and the history of the European competition. And I think I grew up in a time when Liverpool were incredibly successful. There was a number of Irish guys in Liverpool, and that probably attracted me to support them. And then we had a lot of heartbreak for probably the last 30 years, where obviously they won a couple of European Cups and had some success in FA Cups and stuff like that. But the Premier League was the one that a lot of my mates keep slagging me about. And so hopefully we get a finish to this season and we finally get our hands in that Premier League.
Well, we've got a little bit of fun for you, just as a diversion from our walk down memory lane, although it is a slightly different memory lane. It's just Anfield Road. So we've got a few old Liverpool players, let's say, and we've just got a quick fire quiz for you to tell us if you're younger or older than some of these guys who I'm sure might have been some of your heroes.
Jesus,
as well.
So you're going to make me feel old, so here are you.
Well, if I do, I'm feeling old myself.
Okay.
These guys around about the same time. Compatriot Jason McAteer, are you older or younger?
Younger.
You are younger. McAteer is older. He's 48. We'll try and keep your age from people.
I don't mind. It's really easy to find my age.
Didi Harman won the European Cup with Liverpool in 2005. Are you older or younger?
I'm younger.
You are. Didi Harman is 46. Former Liverpool striker Emil Heskey.
I'm older.
You're right, Heskey is 42. You're pretty good at this. Steve McManaman.
I'm younger.
You are. He's 48. And fellow TV pundit and former Liverpool striker Michael Owen.
I'm older.
That's right. Yes, Michael Owen, of course, we forget that he burst onto the scene so young when he was 17 and he's now only 40. So 5 out of 5, that's pretty impressive. as we finish to now go back to rugby, and obviously you have continued your journey with the tournaments and your work in the media, for which we thank you for all of your coverage that you bring to fans across Ireland and the world from what is now the Heineken Champions Cup. What's the best thing for you about still being involved in your role as a prominent pundit and with your newspaper columns as well?
I still feel part of it, and I feel privileged to have the opportunity to be a commentator and be part of those special days for clubs right across Europe now. I think the history of the competition and the passion that's there in the competition is very, very special, and that will never change. I still get a tingle internally on those European weeks when I know that I'm going to be going to a European game, whether it be, you know, covering Munster, Leinster, Connacht or Ulster, any of the Irish provinces. It's that history and that kind of passion that's still inside of me, and that connection with the competition still kind of ignites, and I love the competition, and it's always been very special. So I'm lucky. I count myself lucky now that I still want to be out in the field, and I'd love to be out in the field. And there's many great teams who've won the competition over the years, and I'd love to be still out there some days when I have that mic in my hand. But I still feel a little bit part of that, and that's special for me.
Well, we appreciate the work that you do in bringing the Heineken Champions Cup to life for fans the world over. And we appreciate you joining us for this edition of the Champions Rugby Show. Alan, it's been an absolute pleasure, and thank you for sharing your memories from the Heineken Cup past.
My pleasure. Thanks, Martin.
So great to catch up with Alan Quinlan, a brilliant leader in a group of leaders in a historic era for Munster Rugby. Going back to the Heineken Cup wins of 2006 and 2008, that miracle match on January the 18th, 2003 against Gloucester, and just the fabric of it all, how it came together, that Munster's history inextricably linked with that of what is now the Heineken Champions Cup. Please subscribe to our Champions Rugby Show podcast. Leave us a review as well if you can. And let us know which players you want to come on the show next to share their stories from a quarter of a century of history in what is now the Heineken Champions Cup. Until next time, from me and from all the team, goodbye.